time for FLA Law, brought to you by the personal injury attorneys of Peronic, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyes. This hour will be informative, along with taking your questions and comments. Now, here are your hosts for today's show.
Good evening. This is attorney Matthew Noyce, and I'm one of the partners at the law firm of Peronic, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyce, the host and the sponsors of this show, FLA Law on the Radio. We are the oldest personal injury law firm in Tampa Bay. We've started helping people in 1955, and we haven't stopped since. So we are here live to answer your questions. My areas of law include car accidents, personal injuries, workers' compensation, social security disability, and, you know, any other questions that you may want to throw to us. But I'm not here by myself. Otherwise, you'd have to listen to me for a whole hour. I don't think my wife can listen to me for even about 30 seconds. But I'm not here by myself. I have my good friend Jake Blanchard here as well. Jake is an attorney that does other areas of law, and I'll let him tell you who it is. So, Jake, thank you for coming tonight. Why don't you introduce yourself to our listeners?
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. I'm Jake Blanchard at Blanchard Law, and I've been had my own practice at Blanchard Law for the last 14 years.
Yeah, we've known each other for a long time. How'd you become an attorney?
It's really kind of a long and winding road, but I'll try and tell you pretty quickly. I'm not the typical attorney that went to high school, then college, and then, you know, went to law school. I kind of went around about a little bit. I was in the military. I was in the Navy for 4 years after high school, and I was a welder, and I was on the USS America, and I loved it. And but it was, when I got out, there really wasn't much call for my trade. And and at the time, I had a wife and a daughter, and so, you know, I needed to make some money. And my brother and I started a repossession company, and so my brother pretty much had it, but I jumped in, and then we ended up growing it. And my father was also one of the recovery agents, so we did that probably going on about 10 years while I was going to undergrad at USF. Okay. So I would repo car. Yeah, you know? I got the shirt on. Absolutely. So I would repo cars at night and go to the USF Tampa. So in the parking lot at the business college, they had a tow truck, and so everybody would just clear away from it. So, and then
it wasn't easy to park there when we went there.
No. Well, so yeah, I didn't have a problem. So I'd just move a car if I wanted to. So then, you know, at some point, doing that kind of work, it becomes a drag. I mean, at first, when you're young, it's exciting, and you're doing, you know, all kinds of exciting things, and you're getting cars out of backyards in the middle of the night, and it's dangerous and this and that. But, you know, you start to get older, you start to realize that you're not, you know, gonna live forever, and you also develop somewhat of an emotion towards these people. Sure. That you're taking the cars from.
Right.
Because at some point, you know, you realize that there's a single mom that is not taking her kid to school today because you scooped the car, regardless of whether or not she made the payments. Doesn't matter. I still felt bad, you know, right. Because circumstances are what they are. People find themselves in, you know, tough times, and you know, no matter what those circumstances may be, you don't know what they are. And, you know, I kind of had like a Damascus Road experience, and I thought, you know, I don't want to take another car from a single mom. I want to be able to help these people, and I learned a lot about bankruptcy and secure transactions, doing the recovery agent business, because they had a highly specialized insurance company, and the insurance company was very detail-oriented about training recovery agents not to violate you know, various bankruptcy laws that are meant to protect people that file. So I would go to the insurance seminars, and because once we started to grow, we wanted to get the bigger clients. And so, and it just, you know, I just started to learn. And at each of these seminars, there was always a bankruptcy attorney. And so he would tell us what not to do or whatever. And then I just kind of like started to learn more about it. And then, you know, I got through undergrad and then, you know, went into law school. And as soon as I got out, I went to work with Marshall Reisman, who, and then Marshall Reisman and I were partners for a few years. And then I did a tour of duty on the creditor side at Fowler White in the big firm. I thought I wanted to be a big shot. I'm going to go to the big firm in Tampa. And that didn't, you know, that was about, I got 3 years out of that, but I learned a lot. And then I've been on my own since 2014.
Wow.
And, yeah.
And the areas of law are?
Bankruptcy, mostly bankruptcy. I've gotten to the point where I've done pretty much, you know, other than, you know, large, you know, SEC sort of traded companies, but I do reorganizations for small businesses through Chapter 11. I do a lot of individual bankruptcies for people that are consumers. I do. I've helped a number of people that are individuals that are creditors who have somebody in bankruptcy that they need to file a claim with in the court to make sure that they're there, they get heard. So I represent you know, pretty much both debtors and creditors, mainly debtors. That's just sort of the nature of the business. I'm not in, like I said, when I was at Fowler White, you know, you represented the big banks, and right. So and then but I you know, I love what I do, and I love to help people, and people, you know, I deserve a second chance and a fresh start. So
well, that's wonderful. Yeah, and Jake is here for the next hour to help all our listeners. So if you have questions regarding bankruptcy, this is the time to call. The telephone number is 727-441-3000. It's always better to call early instead of later, because we often run out of time to take all the calls as we wrap up the show. So call now at 441-3000. But if you don't want to call, you don't want to hear your voice on the radio, we are live on Facebook as well. On the firm's Facebook page at Perenick, Caulfield, Averill, and Noyce Injury Lawyers. And Jake and I are live here on the studio. You can see us, and you can type in your questions right on the comments, and we'll be able to answer those questions there. So let's take the time to give us a call so we can answer any questions you have regarding bankruptcy or personal injury. But Jake and I, we had to do law school together. Well, not together, but we did law school, mm-hmm. So we could probably tackle any legal question that may come our way. And if not, I just punt it over to Jake, because he's the guest.
Well, I've got the laptop open to LexisNexis, so we can probably figure it out.
Good deal. Well, again, Jake, thank you very much for taking the time to come in and be available for our listeners to answer questions regarding bankruptcy.
Mm-hmm. No
and problem. So when you're not being a lawyer, I know that you're a family man, too. We were talking about before the show that you recently became a granddad.
Yes, yeah. Yes. So, Matt and I were talking about that, and when you see, you know, I'm parents. I have three kids. I've got one from my first marriage who's 30, and she had a baby recently. She's my oldest daughter, Sierra, and she had a little boy, Sonny. And I'm also dad to a 13-year-old girl and a wonderful little 11-year-old boy. I love being a dad. And
it is fun.
Yeah, it really is. And so, you know, it's hard to stay as involved as you want and still try to, you know, do what we do. But
right.
But I'm starting to, you know, I know you do a much better job at it, so I'm trying to like sort of follow your role a little bit. But so yeah, I became a granddad, and so the discussion for the listeners that Matt and I were having was that that the time, that minute, the first time you see your grandbaby, what that's like.
Yes.
And so it is different. It's obviously love my kids very much, and wouldn't want you know, anything other than what I have. But being a granddad is quite special. So,
well, and when Sonny grows older, you're going to even appreciate it more that when they start crying or when after you give them all the sugar, you can hand them off back to their parents and say, thank you, I had fun.
Well, I think that's
now he's yours.
That's, I mean, that is the best part. I mean, yes. let's not kid ourselves. I don't, you know, I'm not changing any diapers, but I will spoil them. So
that's right. Well, let's focus on bankruptcy a little bit.
Sure.
I mean, we can talk about kids and grandkids forever, but let's talk a little bit. I know there's bankruptcy for businesses.
Yes.
And there's bankruptcy for individuals. In fact, I think Joann Fabrics was the latest one to file bankruptcy.
Right.
As a corporation.
Yes.
But let's focus on individuals, if we could. What is the most common type of bankruptcy for individuals?
Well, most people that end up having to file bankruptcy that are individuals are typically saddled with a lot of consumer debt. When I say consumer debt, I mean credit cards, medical debt, personal loans, car loans, behind on their mortgage or something like that. But I'll tell you what I've come to realize over, you know, the last, you know, how 16 or so years or more, that bankruptcy is a big part of our healthcare system. And, one way or another, someone gets sick, they've got the medical bills. And then, you know, most people really do live paycheck to paycheck, and then they end up having to live on credit cards right. while they're trying to get through, you know, chemotherapy or whatever. And, you know, there are obviously the people that, you know, they've made bad decisions and they want, you know, and they want a fresh start, and bankruptcy's for the honest but unfortunate debtor. And, you know, those people also deserve a fresh start. But by and large, you would be amazed at how many people end up, you know, filing bankruptcy with me because they've had a catastrophic life event that, you know, sent them into a tailspin, and right. they just couldn't spin back out.
Right. And a lot of times it has to do with the medical bills that are just pile up and right. pile up, and they can't do anything about that.
Well, yeah, but, you know, not just the medical bills. Like I said, the credit card bills. I mean, because they've got to buy groceries somehow.
Right.
So, yeah. And so I see that quite a bit, you know.
Yeah. Well, it does look like we do have a caller on the line. How can we help you today? Thank you for calling.
Yes, this is Susie.
Hi, Susie.
I had a question about bankruptcy. Can one spouse file bankruptcy and not the other? If so, what's the impact on the one not filing?
That's a good question, Jay.
Yeah, I mean, that is a good question, and I hear that all the time. You know, bankruptcy isn't something that you have to do, right? Sometimes there is what they call involuntary bankruptcies, but by and large, that's not for nobody, you know, consumer typically isn't going to get pushed into an involuntary bankruptcy. So for the most part, it's obviously voluntary. So so if one spouse files and the other one doesn't want to file, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. So depending on the type of case that is, the impact on the non-filing spouse should be, you know, minimal, really, because the participation from the non-filing spouse is basically just, you know, reporting whatever their income is so that the bankruptcy court and the trustee knows what the household income is. But I get this question a lot, and you know, I've never seen a bankruptcy travel from one spouse's credit report to another.
Okay.
So
a couple could have credit cards, and it's all in, let's say, the husband's name,
mm-hmm.
and all that credit cards all piled up, and they're all in the husband's name. The husband can file bankruptcy if he needs to.
Sure.
And the wife, if no credit cards or no debt are in her name, or even medical bills aren't in her name, then she doesn't have the ramifications that bankruptcy goes with.
No.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, no, there's, you know, I do see that quite a bit.
Oh,
so,
okay.
And I mean, it's, you know, other than that particular, you know, analysis for whether or not one can do the other, and one can file and not the other, you know, it can get more complicated. So that's you know, that's what I'm here for.
That's right.
But you know, to answer your question, Susie, yes.
Oh, awesome. Okay. Well, not that it's a good thing, but yeah, I appreciate the information.
No problem.
Susie, thank you for listening, and I hope that was helpful for you.
Thank you.
No, that's a good, really good question. I get that. I do get that quite a bit. But a lot of times, you know, if you've got a married couple, most times they end up filing together.
Because they have joint assets for the most part, right?
For the most part. Or, you know, well, more than that, joint debt.
Joint debt, too.
So, yeah, mostly on the debt side. And so they're two different case. They get the same case number in the court, but they really are treated as, you know, from a legal standpoint, they're two separate cases, but they're doing it together. And, you know, so... I've had a number of you know, recently though, where you have one spouse that just ends up shouldering all the debt, and it just gets to be too much. So
Well, that's very helpful. And so, listeners, if you have a question like Susie had a question, give us a call. Again, the number is 441-3000, or you can type your question on our Facebook page where we're live doing FLA Law on the radio. The Facebook page is Perenik, Caulfield, Averill & Noyce Injury Lawyers. And we're here, right here. You can see Jake and myself, and we can see your questions, and we're happy to answer them through Facebook as well. So, Jake, thank you again. We were talking about the different types of bankruptcy, and I know just enough to be dangerous. I know there's Chapter 7, Chapter 11, and Chapter 13?
Correct, yes.
All right. Can you tell our listeners the difference between those three?
Sure. A Chapter 7 bankruptcy is what is basically a straight bankruptcy. It's a liquidation-type bankruptcy. And you're allowed to keep certain things. They're called exemptions. You know, your household's exempt, or your homestead's exempt for the most part. I mean, there's always exceptions. You know, but your IRA, 401k, but not much else after that. So, you know, the other exemption is just $1,000 personal property, which is anything that's not real property, and then, you know, $1,000 equity in a car. And it doesn't, you know, obviously that doesn't sound like much, but, you know, that is a lot of the cases, right? Because people have done what they can to keep from having to file bankruptcy. And so that, you know, when they come to me, it's
they're going to come to you if they had all this money in the bank.
Right. So, and then there's also, but there is, household median test that determines whether or not if someone can do a Chapter 7. And a lot of times people want to do the Chapter 7 because it's quicker, right? You're in and out in about 4 months. The alternative is if you don't qualify for 7 because your income, your median, the household income that is too high, then a couple might want to do a Chapter 13, which is a payment plan. It's a repayment plan, and it's for individuals, and it's kind of like a reorganization for the household from a debt restructuring standpoint. They call it a rehabilitation. But if you think of your household and you think of the debt that you have, it's a restructuring of the household debt, really.
Okay.
And so you end up, it depends on what your Chapter 13 plan payments are. There's a number of factors. The main one is you know, what your quote-unquote disposable income is. And so that's part of, like, what we do with clients is figure out what that looks like and then give them options. The other bankruptcy, the other types of bankruptcy is a Chapter 11 reorganization, which is typically for businesses. Individuals can do Chapter 11. They're usually the ones that have high net worth or high debt that doesn't qualify for a Chapter 13 because there's a debt limit.
Okay.
So And that those are, I do quite a bit of those, and it's, you know, from you know for guys like us that are just normal everyday guys that have their own businesses, and you know, we're going along and doing our thing, and something happens, and you know, one thing happens or the other, the downturn in the economy, sales drop, and you know, the people start to take
pandemic.
There was that. So exactly, and you know, people kind of start to take desperate and take these desperate loans, and so I see a lot of small businesses with just incredibly high interest rate loans.
Oh, goodness.
So yeah,
okay.
So it kind of crushes them. So the Chapter 11's there for them to, you know, restructure the debt from that standpoint.
Oh, that makes sense. So Chapter 7 eliminates, for the most part, the debt.
Right.
Chapter 13 mm-hmm. just restructures it. Is that the fair way to say that?
Well, so a Chapter 13 is, like I said, it's a repayment plan. So the concept for a bankruptcy is to first get the automatic stay, which is to keep the credit, you know, get the creditors to back off you.
Okay.
Keep, you know, stop the phone from ringing and just give you a breath.
Keep that car from being repo.
Yes.
Or the house. That's the thing you had to learn about.
That is exactly right.
In your younger days.
I violated the automatic stay on a nightly basis, I'm sure. So I hope Judge McEwen doesn't hear that. But at any rate, so at some point, right, then but the main goal is it's to get a discharge from the debt. And a discharge is, you know, not necessarily a forgiveness of the debt, but it's a legal injunction from any of the creditors collecting the debt. And so it basically just does wipe it away.
Okay.
And it gives you a fresh start. For Chapter 7, you can only do a Chapter 7 every 8 years, so
okay.
It's not like, so they try to, you know, minimize,
sure.
Yeah, the gamesmanship in it, but the Chapter 7, you'll end up getting, you know, discharged from the debt, most debt, like credit card debt, medical bills. Student loans are still not dischargeable, although, and we'll talk about that. There's some really interesting things happening with student loans, but in the bankruptcy world. But for now, you know, they're not dischargeable just by themselves on its own, like a credit card or a medical debt would be. Most income taxes, depending on how old they are, just a rule of thumb, if your income taxes are from, you know, say, just as a real rule of thumb, 3 or 4 years past, they could be dischargeable in a bankruptcy. Payroll taxes are never, but and penalties, but in a Chapter 13, you don't get the discharge until you're done with the plan payments. So it is, in a way, sort of restructuring the debt because it's there for the time being. It's less or however it is that your situation works out, so that you're, you know, everybody has a different situation. In a Chapter 13 plan payment is very formulaic. There's not a lot of wiggle room. And it does require life changes. It does require, you know, not eating out as much and watching what you spend at the grocery store. So it is, in that sense, somewhat of a rehabilitation.
Right.
So, but once you get through it, you come out the other
side. A financial lesson of,
well,
of budgeting and,
yes.
And living. And,
yes.
So
yeah.
That
yeah.
makes sense.
Yes.
That makes sense. So we talked about debt that is dischargeable,
mm-hmm.
meaning that eventually
mm-hmm.
you're no longer responsible for that debt.
Correct.
And those could be medical bills,
mm-hmm. right?
Could be credit cards.
Sure.
And we kind of talked about student loans. Mm-hmm. What about a judgment? What happens if you have a judgment entered against you?
Mm-hmm.
For example, we do auto accident cases,
sure.
And although I'm 35 years, I've never sued an individual to get a judgment against them. We
mm-hmm.
always go after their insurance company
mm-hmm.
instead.
Mm-hmm.
But in real world, you can file a lawsuit, go to trial, and get a judgment against somebody to have them have to pay
mm-hmm.
you for your damages.
Is
that judgment something that can be discharged?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, the simple answer without, you know, in general, yes. There's a few caveats. Obviously, it depends on what the judgment's for. If it's, you know, if a judgment for negligence, for, you know,
causing a crash
or something like that. Is, you know, if you weren't drunk or there wasn't some aggravating factor or there wasn't any like criminal intent, you know, for the most part, that judgment is going to be dischargeable. But the judgment itself is going to be, think about it this way. Mostly what we see is if someone defaults on a credit card, right, and it goes to a state court lawsuit and they get served with a a process server comes to the house and they just kind of whatever, they throw it away. Or they just kind of push it off the side, sort of. It gets intense because you read it, and if you don't do it like we do every day, it kind of looks like an eye chart at the doctor office. You don't know, this doesn't make any sense. You're just reading letters. And so, that could become a judgment if it's not handled, right? So, and it's a default judgment, and I see that a lot. And so what people don't understand is that when a judgment is entered, it gets recorded at the court level, right? And then it gets re-recorded at the property record level. So it can be a lien on property that you get after that judgment. Now, the big exception is the homestead. A judgment's not going to attach to your homestead for credit card debt. It's not going to attach to the homestead. But it makes it so that a creditor can garnish a bank account, they can garnish wages, they can levy, because they basically, now that that judgment has been securitized by collateral, whatever that collateral is. It could be your car,
right,
if you have it paid off. And as a repossessor, I learned this pretty well.
Sure.
A creditor can levy by having a sheriff come out to your house and, you know, filing the proper paperwork with the court, of course, and saying, hey, look, I have a lien on this car now. I'm going to levy against this car. And the way they do it is they'll actually serve the levy with the sheriff. And so, you know, that's quite a surprise to people when that happens. And
yeah, so, I mean, the repossession of the car, it could be your car is being repossessed, not because you didn't make the car payments themselves,
yes, mm-hmm,
but because you had a judgment on a credit card that, mm-hmm, had nothing to do with the car.
Right.
But because you have that car,
mm-hmm,
that bank would, mm-hmm, be able to try to levy.
Levy. And that's really, you know, typically when you get a lien on a car, it has to go, you know, way back when, before someone figured out a way around all this more complicated part, where if you got a judgment, you'd have to go to the DMV, record it with the DMV, and then get a lien on the title, and then you could go repossess the car. So that's what we used to see, you know, way back when. Now because it's a tangible piece of property like anything else, it can be levied.
Okay.
And so there isn't, so, you know, it kind of shortcuts the process. So, you know, people don't realize that when they have a judgment and they think, well, they're not going to get my car because they don't have a lien on my car. Yeah. Well, they don't necessarily, well, yes, they do, actually. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, every week, Jake, I always try to let our listeners know something about uninsured motorist coverage. And somebody said, well, how are you going to tie uninsured motorist coverage to bankruptcy?
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is exactly how you do it. It's if we had the negligence claim,
mm-hmm,
and if my client got injured by someone who didn't have insurance,
mm-hmm,
then my client would be able to bring that claim against that person and get a judgment against that person. And I always tell the client that the judgment's worth the piece of paper it's written on. If they didn't have money to buy car insurance, they probably don't have money to pay your judgment.
Right.
And so that's why uninsured motorist coverage is so important, because, mm-hmm, then my client can then make the claim against the uninsured motorist, mm-hmm, for their damages,
mm-hmm,
and let the uninsured motorist insurance company deal with, mm-hmm, the at-fault driver instead.
Right.
So uninsured motorist coverage, the most important coverage.
This is no kidding. I didn't have it until you and I like became friends, and we were at lunch and you mentioned it to me. And I'm a bankruptcy attorney. I was like, I don't think I have uninsured motorist coverage. My face got red. And next day, I got it. So it's true. It's important, because if you get hurt by somebody and they don't have that insurance, you're You know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you have those medical bills.
Yeah.
You could end up having to file bankruptcy because you were involved in a crash.
Well, that and that happens quite a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so...
Yeah, so we talked about what can be discharged,
mm-hmm.
but what can be kept? What can a debtor keep mm-hmm. if they're filing bankruptcy? We talked about homestead, but can we just tell our listeners, I mean, you and I know what homestead is, but can you tell our listeners, you know, what types of assets can mm-hmm. they keep even if they do have to file bankruptcy?
Sure. So when you think of someone filing bankruptcy, and this is kind of the way I always pictured it, like just out of your mind's eye, out of nowhere comes a bucket, right? And that's the bankruptcy estate, and everything theoretically goes into the bucket. So in a seven, a trustee is appointed over that bucket. And so their job is to see if there's anything that they can get out of that bucket to sell and then get the creditors, you know, the proceeds of creditors. That's why you always hear, just from a general sense, oh, you know, they file bankruptcy, they're going to get pennies on the dollar or whatever.
Right.
Because that's sort of the reason why, because there's typically not much, if anything, left in the bucket. And there are things you can take out if you're a debtor. This is important, right? Because you have to start your life over.
Right.
So, but, you know, bankruptcy is... It's a fresh start, not a head start. So you don't get a whole lot other than your house, right? So the homestead is the sacred... Where you raise your family, it's your primary residence in Florida, and subject to obviously certain exceptions. You know, there is the ability under the Florida Constitution to remove that homestead out of the bucket 100%.
Okay.
Even if you don't have a lien on it or you know it, whatever. So again, that's you know there is a limit on these things if there's some extenuating factors, but generally speaking, the other things you can take out is your, you know, your retirement, your IRA, your 401k, that sort of thing.
That's protected, okay.
Yeah.
And then you talked about a car, but it's $1,000. Is that what you said?
Yes, right.
Okay.
So you don't get much of a. If you take the homestead exemption, I would never want my client to not take the homestead exemption if they wanted to keep their house, right? Regardless of how much is owed on it, you know, it's important. Take it. So there's also different other types of exceptions, like tenants by the entireties and things like that, but it's more complicated. That's like for...
Oh, my goodness. That's real estate.
Yeah, it's just crazy.
That's real estate law.
We don't want to talk about that. We don't like that. So, but also, if you get the homestead, you don't get much else. But you get your retirement, you get $1,000 personal property, which is anything that's not real property like we talked about, and you get
$1,000. Like your couch. You said it's not a... I like what you said. It's not a head start. It's a restart.
It's a fresh start. Right. But, I mean, think if you start to really think about it, what is your stuff really worth? Like Craigslist value. Like if you've got a dog and two kids, your couch is worthless after a couple of months.
That's
so
true.
Nobody's buying that.
That's true.
So it's what would you find it on Craigslist for? So it's, just as a rule of thumb, I mean, think about it. If you haven't bought anything in a while, you know, probably if you don't have any collectibles, your furniture and everything in your house is probably Craigslist value, maybe $1,000, $1,500. So, so a lot of people do fit into that. Where you have a problem, though, is where with the vehicle exemption. The vehicle exemption is not very forgiving. But the other side of that is that there's people that have liens on their car and they're making payments. So in bankruptcy, they have the option to keep the car and to keep making the payments and reaffirm the debt. And it's the same thing with a mortgage. So
okay. So
if you want, but if you want to keep the car, you don't get a free car. You still got to pay
for
it. Still got to make those payments. And then, oh, by the way, you're re-obligating yourself past, the bankruptcy to continue to make those payments. So,
okay.
And that's a reaffirmation agreement. And we see that a lot. So, but, a lot of times there's an issue with if you've got stuff that doesn't fit into that bucket and you want to keep it, what do you do? Well, you file a Chapter 13 and you can figure out a way
to,
because there's a number of you know, things that go into a plan payment and how much it is. But one of the things is how much would creditors get in a seven. So if you want to keep it and it has real value, and you still need it, you know, you can essentially buy it back through Chapter 13.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah.
If you all have questions regarding bankruptcy, now is the time to call. We got about 20 more minutes. The number is 441-3000, and it does look like we do have another caller on the line. Hi, caller. Thank you for calling. How can we help you tonight?
Hi. So I'm calling to ask about a friend of mine. He just filed for bankruptcy.
Okay.
And I was wondering if he will be able to rent an apartment or get a loan after that.
That's a good question.
That's a really good question.
Jake Blanchard, the bankruptcy attorney right here, is here to answer that question for you.
No, that's an excellent question. And filing bankruptcy, Chapter 7, it's gonna crush your credit score, you know.
Okay.
Think about your personal injury attorney. So you think about a car crash, like, you know, missing a payment or two is a ding here and there, like a, you know, or filing a bankruptcy, you're wiping it out. You got to start over. But the thing is that now, after you get your discharge, which is in about 4 months, you don't have any other unsecured debt. You can't do it for another 8 years. So, and if you have like a secured credit card, or you're still got that car we talked about and you reaffirmed it and you keep paying for it, you'd be surprised at how fast the credit score goes up.
Okay.
So, which is, you know, good and bad, because sometimes that's what got people into the problem that they're in to begin with. But I mean, face it, like it or not, our credit scores are very important, because
the landlords look at it if you're going to rent that apartment.
And you know, things are very expensive for you from a financing standpoint. If your credit score is low, you're higher risk, and so you have a higher interest rate on your loans. So, but to answer your question very specifically, it's really up to, obviously, it's really up to the landlord. So usually if the person goes to rent something from someone that's an individual, they probably won't even run a credit check.
Okay.
You know, but if they go and they rent something from like a large complex
or something,
then they probably, you know, they'll most likely, and I have never seen anybody not be able to find a place to live or place to rent after bankruptcy. But it is, you know, it is a concern.
It may cost more.
That's right. Sometimes timing's everything with bankruptcy. So if your lease is about to end and you need to get in another one, you may want to do that before you file bankruptcy, right? So, and then, you know, you can just keep, you know, assume the lease and keep paying for it. And your credit or standing will be good with whoever you're renting from. With regard to a loan, you know, getting like a FHA or federally backed type loan, you're not going to get one of those until 3 years after you get the discharge.
Okay.
But believe me, if you want a high interest rate credit card, the offer will be in the mail very, very shortly after you get that discharge.
Because they know you can't get rid of it.
That's
for
right.
8 years.
Yeah. So
same with the car loan.
Yeah. So most car lenders are going to be that you end up dealing with, or what we used to call subprime lenders, right?
Yeah. It's buy here, pay here.
Exactly. So, or the buy here, pay here's are a little bit below there's a place for them, and they got a special place in my heart. I have many friends that I have many clients that I've sent to people that have buy here, pay here, so they can get cars, because that's not, you know, they can't get it anywhere else. But, you know, usually if you can take some time to build the credit score, you can get up to, you know, a better interest rate and get a better loan for a car. But you got to start somewhere, so you're going to end up with the subprime lender, and you do well with them, and then your credit score will build pretty quickly, and the next thing you know, you will be able to get a car or a loan.
That's
with you know, Ford Motor Credit. I've seen it happen.
Okay. Call, I hope that was helpful. I guess the answers are, although there's more of a challenge, the answer is not no. Your friend's not excluded from getting into an apartment. Is not excluded from getting a loan either. So I hope that was helpful for you. And thank you.
It was. Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling. We do have about 15 more minutes on tonight's show. I am Matthew Noyce. I'm one of the attorneys at Perrinick Caulfield Averill & Noyce, the personal injury law firm that has been helping people since 1955. We are the oldest personal injury law firm in Tampa Bay. Guy Perrinick started our firm a long time ago in 1955, and we've been helping people since then. And Jake Blanchard is here as well. He's a bankruptcy attorney. He's been giving me all kinds of good information. I know our listeners are also getting valuable information regarding bankruptcy law. So if you have questions, you got 14 minutes, give us a call. Again, it's 441-3000. But Jake, I did want to talk to you a little bit about, because it impacts our practice as well as personal injury attorneys. Mm-hmm. We have clients that get into a car accident, mm-hmm. and before their case is done, they may be in a situation where they have to file bankruptcy.
Yeah.
What happens to their personal injury claim if they have to file bankruptcy?
It goes into that bucket,
it
right?
Does, yeah.
It does. And so, and that's sort of the tragedy of how long it could take, because the insurance company has a bit of a strategy where they will sort of just, you know, drown you in litigation or discovery requests or whatever, and, you know, you can't. Your client, Matt's not working. The medical bills are racking up, and the insurance company is not taking responsibility like it should. And that happens a lot. So unfortunately, it happened. I mean, it really does. So what ends up happening though is that if the individual has to file bankruptcy for whatever reason, you know, then that personal injury claim becomes part of the property of the estate. And so in chapter seven, the trustee will step into their shoes.
Yeah, I lose that as a client. The client is no longer Bob Smith. It's now the bankruptcy trustee.
Right, right. And so, you know, so here's the thing, you know, a lot of times people don't know that, right?
Right.
So in bankruptcy, a Chapter 7 bankruptcy isn't like flipping a light switch on and off. So you can't just duck in and duck out. You can't say, well, I changed my mind. I want to dismiss it. So especially if there's an asset in that bucket that a trustee sees and that they can, you know, liquidate for creditors, right?
Right.
So, but, you know, that's not always the end of the story, you know, because sometimes, or a lot of times, you know, that let's say the typical credit card debt's $35,000-$40,000. This poor person, probably after it's all said and done, is probably entitled to a great deal more money. So,
right.
You know, so you don't want to just say forget it once you do that. But there are things to consider, very, very important things to consider. The other thing to consider is if do a Chapter 13.
Right.
A Chapter 13 is different. It's entirely voluntary. So if you get into the Chapter 13, you don't like the way the things are going, you don't like the plan payment, the trustee wants too much out of this settlement or whatever, then you can just voluntarily dismiss, as long as there's no bad faith, right?
Oh, so I didn't know. I didn't appreciate that. That's good to know.
Most personal injury attorneys don't realize there is another option. And so it's not the end of the world, or it's not the end of the, you know, it's not the end of the case for your client if they have to file bankruptcy. There's ways to do it, and but you have to be, you know, you have to be careful, and you want to make sure that you disclose everything. Like, you know, you don't want to go into a bankruptcy and not tell a trustee that you have this claim. That is about the worst thing you can do.
Right.
Because one way or another, they're going to find out.
They know
how to ask questions.
Right.
So, but at the same time, if you need help and you're still dealing with going through the rigmarole of, you know, doctors and missing work and, you know, trying to figure out how to pay for this while you're hard at work trying to get them, you know, get them paid like they should be for the year compensated, then there's ways to deal with it. So I'm glad now I probably opened up a referral source for you. You didn't even know that, did you?
That's right. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. That's very helpful. Now, we've talked about bankruptcy, but are there also alternatives to bankruptcy?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit what the alternatives would be and in what situation should they consider that? I think we just talked about one of them.
Right.
But what other alternatives are there?
You know, what I'm about to say is going to shock you because not many bankruptcy attorneys are going to tell you this, but I think bankruptcy should be a last resort. And I beat myself out of bankruptcy attorney fees or fees all the time by saying, look, there you don't have to file bankruptcy. There are other ways to deal with this. And so
that happens to me too because I tell some of my clients, listen, you don't. Just because you get in a car accident doesn't mean you automatically need a car accident and an attorney.
Right, right. But I mean, if you're considering filing bankruptcy, please get an attorney. If it's
Oh, sure.
And the thing with bankruptcy attorneys, we understand you're in a situation, so we'll work with you on payments and things like that. I always give free initial consultations. Most of my colleagues do as well. Okay. So at least so you know what you're dealing with.
And that's when you get to talk to them about the alternatives.
Right. So there's a lot. So, I always give at least an hour initial consultation free, and we'll talk about options. And so sometimes, filing a bankruptcy is not a good option for them for one reason or another. The income's too high, and they still won't be able to afford a Chapter 13 plan payment for whatever reason, or they have the vehicle that they can't afford to buy back, but they got to have it to go to work. So what do you do? Well, you work out or you try to do a settlement negotiation of some sort with, the creditor. Usually that is okay and that works pretty well if you've got one or two. But if you're, the avalanche is coming,
right,
you have to have a way to deal with them all at once. And so that's what bankruptcy does. It brings them all into the one arena where you can deal with them. Otherwise, you're fighting a war on many different fronts. So there's obviously, there's limitations to it. But I've done a number of settlements for folks that are payment plans or whatever, and like I said, everybody's situation is different, and so I'll always figure out an option. And it might not be what it is that the person wants. But there's ways to deal with it. There's options, right? The one thing you don't want to do is bury your head in the sand because then it just becomes too late.
Right.
So because I never tell people that they have to file bankruptcy, but from a legal standpoint, there's some times where you really should do it because you've got the garnishment right from the judgment, and they're hitting your bank account,
right?
Or your house is about to get foreclosed on, and you need to figure out a way to do a modification. Or work out a payment structure with the bank, and that's Chapter 13 is pretty good for that.
Okay.
And then, you're again facing down, the sword of Damocles is being held over your head with a judgment of some sort. And so, at some point, people they get tired of looking over their shoulder and they want a fresh start. And so, but it's not something you have to do.
Yeah, and if people have questions, how can they get in touch with you when you're not here on FLA Law on the radio? How can they get in touch with you during the day?
Well, I'm over on 49th Street in Pinellas Park. I'm from here originally for the most part.
Yeah.
I think like most folks our age, right? We moved here when we were five from somewhere up north. But
right. We're still Floridians.
Yeah.
Although I'm still a Chicago boy myself.
Yeah. So, but you can reach me on my cell phone. I can't do that. My wife would go nuts.
Yes.
But the office line is 727-531-7068. 727-531-7068.
And you have a website too,
yes,
right?
Yes. It's jakeblanchardlaw.com. Because when I started the firm, I was a little shocked to know that there's many Blanchard Laws out there. So that domain name was just not available. So it's jakeblanchardlaw.com.
That's perfect. Well, I'm going to do something that I've been doing too most of my guests lately, and I didn't tell you about this.
Oh, great.
And I stole this from the Kelly Kelly Show, which is on Mondays from 5 to 6, and it's called This or That.
Okay.
And so people know how smart you are as a bankruptcy attorney, but now I want our listeners to know, you know, your likes and dislikes.
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to go This or That, you tell me which one, okay?
All right.
New York City or Disney World?
Disney World.
Okay. Do you like to be a driver or the passenger?
Well, wait. Disney World's the one in California, right?
Disney World's here in Orlando.
All right. That's one. Okay. That not the Magic Kingdom, though. But
okay.
Yeah. I would take New York over the Magic Kingdom.
Okay.
Go ahead.
How about being a driver or a passenger?
Depends on who's driving.
Okay. Fair answer. Music stations on the radio or talk radio stations?
I listen to audiobooks mostly.
Okay. But that was mine down here.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So, but if I do listen to the radio, I like to listen to some classic rock music. Yeah.
Good deal.
So
good deal.
I am almost 50 after all.
Me too. Oh, wait. I'm almost 60. Apple or Android?
Well, that's funny. If my wife is listening, she's probably laughing right now because it was the Android and I wouldn't do it for a number of years. And then I finally got an Apple phone and it was changed my life.
An Apple Watch, I see.
Yes,
too,
so yes. You know, I know. I'm not.
That's what converted me to.
It's mind-boggling what these things can do. Yeah.
Mountain vacation or beach vacation?
Well, you know, we live on the beach, so I'm gonna say mountain vacation. I think that would be a nice change of pace.
Okay, when on vacation, sit at the pool or do activities?
Do activities. Okay. Yeah.
Baseball or football?
Book. That's a this is. I feel like you're judging me because I know
this answer decides whether or not you get called back.
This is it. If you're gonna be my friend or not. No, but no. For me, it's football. But you know, I am a baseball fan.
Yeah,
so,
no,
but
I know.
But I do love football. Yeah.
All right. And bowling or golfing?
Gosh, that's a hard one. It depends on the time of year. Bowling is air conditioned, typical. So, you know, but if it's a nice day out, I like to play.
Okay.
Yeah, a little bit of golf.
I'll take AC anytime myself.
Well, that was the thing going back to baseball when they're going to move the Rays or change the stadium.
Right.
I was like, it better have air conditioning.
They better have air conditioning and a roof so it doesn't rain during the afternoon.
Right.
Thunderstorms.
Right. Those are my only two requirements.
Pizza or barbecue?
Pizza.
All right. Pineapple on your pizza?
God, no. That's just wrong.
Cats or dogs?
Cats. But I also like dogs. My paralegal, Rebecca, has two little dogs she brings in to work every day. I love them. They're good for clients, too, because it helps people relax. But I do have two really stupid cats that I like. So,
well, that explains why you and I are friends, because there's many this and that we relate to together for. We do have about a minute left. Jake, can you just tell our listeners one more time how they can reach you when you're not here on the radio?
Again,
your telephone number.
Telephone number 727-531-7068. 727-531-7068. The website, jakeblanchardlaw.com. And you can shoot me an email at info@jakeblanchardlaw.com.
Perfect. And if you can't have that information, if you don't have the ability to write that down, you can call our office at 796-8282. And we're happy to share that with you. But I am Matthew Noyce, one of the partners at Perrinet Caulfield, Averill & Noyce. And I thank you, Jake, for taking your time to be here to answer questions and provide very valuable information to all our listeners.
It was my pleasure.
Next week, we will be back. I think Jacqueline Bryant will be here with another special guest. But in the meantime, I always ask that you drive safely and watch out for those who don't. Have a good night. Take care. WTAN, Clearwater.
FM 106.1.
WDCF, Dade City.
FM 102.3.
Listen.